Turrello with you here. Follow me on Twitter at ChrisTurrell11. This is a mini Friar pod. And, you know, a lot has been happening here for the Friars in the last few weeks. One of the big things has been recruiting, trying to figure out who are the two guards that Ed Cooley wants to bring in here. And I understand all that. Let's begin with Kyron Cartwright. Very interesting with this young man out of Compton, California. 5'11", 165, 170. And one of the big things with him that I really like is his potential. Now, we can talk about some of the other guys that Ed Cooley and company are currently going after, but what I like about Kyron Cartwright for what he can do for this team is it's all about finding the guy who can maybe bring that ball up for 5 to 10 minutes a game when it's not Chris Dunn. Granted, Chris Dunn probably isn't going to start the season, but one of the big things with Kyron Cartwright is he's someone who aspires to be a lot bigger than probably his own height. And I look at someone like Kyron Cartwright, and when you see his coach, Tony Thomas, who's been out at Compton for the past 8 years, you look at words like warrior or phrases like he's a vocal leader. He's someone who's not afraid when he's the ball handler. So that's something that I really enjoy listening to. And there was this interesting article back in January on FoxSports.com. I'm actually going to post it to my Twitter page at ChrisTurrell11. And one of the big things is that with what he said, it's titled 10 Things to Know About Kyron Cartwright. Now, at the time, he's committed to LMU. There's no need to even talk about him. But he made this great comment about wearing the number 11. And he said the great point guards wear number 11. And he pointed out Isaiah Thomas from the Detroit Pistons. He pointed out a few different guys. How about Bryce Cotton? That's a name you can look at. So, I mean, does he take the number 11? Are we going to allow the number to be taken? I would assume so, but I think one of the big things is that he certainly has that gumption, that drive in him to say, hey, I can go out there, I can be that player for you, and I want to be that player. So I'm really looking forward to see what he can do. I like the YouTube video. I think the one thing, especially, you can look at, listen, Friartown Hoops, we can look at scout.com, we can all sit here and say, oh, I like this kid. Oh, I don't like this kid. One thing that we as fans have tend to do, and it's through no fault, it's just whether it's wishful thinking, anything like that, is we get this idea in our head that because we have interest in a kid, they automatically have interest in us. Or because we are making a top 5 list or a top 7 when someone cuts their list, that automatically means, oh, now the Friars' chances just went up. Well, yeah, they went up, but that doesn't mean they're going to ultimately end up here. But what we do is we sit there, we argue back and forth through our keyboards in the internet and say, oh, I like this kid or I don't like this kid. Then if you say you don't like him, you better know why you don't like him. Well, the fact is no matter whether you like him or not, it's not really going to matter. We don't know until they get to Dave Gavitt Court, to Joe Mullaney Gymnasium, and we actually see what they can do with this team. Obviously, Kyron Cartwright fits something that Ed Cooley likes, something that probably Andre LaFleur likes. If God Shamgod is sticking around, he's something that we can work with. He's a project. I always said, and this goes back to my argument with Terrence Smith, who is long gone from St. Anthony's. Now he's going to be a Nebraska Cornhusker, and God bless him. It's about development. Bring in someone who not only can help you right away, but what is he going to look like in 4 years? I'm not saying this guy's going to look like the next Bryce Cotton or anything, or even Sherrod Curry, but can he develop into someone we can trust? And also, you're bringing in someone from Compton, California. You better make sure that with APR issues, with everything that's going on, I know Bob Driscoll's already addressed it, but you want to make sure that the APR doesn't take a hit. How many times have we seen a player come in and then leave? We've seen, or not play at all. So let's make sure ducks are in a row. This is a very important recruiting class for Ed Cooley. I like having Kyron Cartwright. He seems to be someone who's going to come into practice. It's going to be small guard against bigger guard, whether it's a Junior LaMamba, who we'll touch in a little bit, Fortune, who I want to touch upon in a little bit, whether it's a Chris Dunn. But those are your four guards. Dunn, Fortune, Cartwright, and LaMamba. So we'll get into that in a little bit. Now let's move to some of the prospects here. When I look at someone like, I know the big name right now on both boards and on Twitter for us, there's two big names. There's Larry Austin Jr., who recently received his release from Tennessee following Quanzo Martin's departure from Tennessee to California. And then there's Jared Terrell, who, for whatever reason, family reasons, personal reasons, does not want to go to OK State. He's now going to, and Adam Zagoria of SNY is reporting it's down to BC or PC. He will visit both campuses this week. By Friday, we should have both visits done and over with. May extend into the weekend, I've been told, but should be done by Friday. And one of the big things is that when you, and it probably will go into the weekend, I don't know why I'm even, it probably will, because my source I don't trust as much, so we'll have to, we'll probably just say it's going into the weekend. But one of the big things is that with these guys, I look at Larry Austin, he's sitting there at 6'1". I just don't, with the schools he's looking at, he's going to go look at Xavier. I don't see him coming to Providence. Would I love to have him here? Absolutely. But I just don't think he's our guy. I think Jared Terrell fits what Ed Cooley needs in immediacy. I think for all intents and purposes, Terrell can be a heck of a player. It's, you know, coming in here, he's got the frame. He's and for lack of better words, he's his defensive prowess. That is what I think a lot of us really want, is this sense that we're going to put in a system where you're going to have a guy going out there, whether you pair up LaMamba with Terrell or Dunn, who makes us instantly a better defensive team and a better half-court offensive team. It's Dunn and LaMamba, or it's LaMamba and Terrell, or Dunn and Terrell. It's a better. It's better. Now, you also look at what Terrell can do on the offensive side. Now, I've been hearing a lot of, I've been reading a lot of people saying, I don't know if LaMamba has the range. I don't know if LaMamba can do this or that. LaMamba is better for us defensively. And what he's going to do is, have you ever seen him try, have you ever seen his video? Driving to the lane off of a turnover, off of a steal, it's incredible. He's fast. Then get him in the half court. Can he shoot the three? Not as well as other people. Can he drive to the hoop? Yeah, you ever watch, for any Giants fans out there, you ever watch Brandon Jacobs at the goal line? You ever watch LeGarrette Blount at the goal line? That's what I see. I see someone who's not afraid to get some contact and who's not afraid to keep that ball between his two arms and then put it up strong off the glass. That's what I see with LaMamba. He's explosive off the floor too, so I like that in transition. Now that we say that, though, we need one more guard, and if I had to choose, I'd like it to be Terrell. I have no problem with Larry Austin Jr. if he wants to come in here. Obviously, maybe with, you see, like, what was it, a week ago, Matt Carlino, formerly of BYU, chooses Marquette, which is a great thing for Marquette to get him into the Big East. I think it's a great opportunity for us to have him. But you know, Larry Austin, like I said, he's visiting Xavier. If these guys all end up in the Big East, that's a great thing for the league, but now Providence needs to bite. One thing I was thinking with a Carlino or someone who only has 1 year of eligibility, possibly a grad student or immediate eligibility with a senior, is you come in, you do your job, and then you leave because who's behind you? A pretty decent 2015 class, especially with guards and who we're looking at. And I look at someone like Donovan Mitchell, who Ed Cooley has been working nonstop to get this kid. I said it before, I'll say it again. Donovan Mitchell wants the big schools. Ultimately, his dream was UNC, but I don't think UNC is going to happen. So now where is he looking? Syracuse. Kansas. He just saw, what his buddy Devontae Graham was able to do. So I think you're going to see Donovan Mitchell. It would shock a lot of people. People far smarter than me, far more worthy of your ears, that would say it's probably going to happen in spring. I wouldn't think that in November of 2014, Donovan Mitchell is sitting there with his Twitter and sitting there in his gymnasium saying, I'm going to this place. This is going to drag on, but that's just me. So my other question is, do we think this is going to get wrapped up in the next week or so, or the next 2 weeks? Maybe it does, but let's say Austin and Terrell both pass on Providence. Now, if I had to choose between playing at Boston College or Providence, where do you think I'm going to play the next 4 years? I'd probably go to Providence. Why? Because they just won a Big East championship, and because they just went to the NCAA tournament, and I can play, and I'm going to have a chance to get to play a lot. at Boston College, I'm going to play these schools like Duke. I'm going to play UNC. I'm going to play Syracuse. But guess what? I'm going to lose to them. So at the end of my 4 years of eligibility, what's more important to me? Possibly going to the NCAA tournament, winning Big East tournament games, maybe winning the Big East championship again? Or is it I was able to beat Syracuse at Syracuse with my team having a terrible record? The way I look at it, Boston College is right now going through what Providence College had to go through, which is get a couple of upsets, try and squeak your way into one of those other tournaments not called the NCAA, and see what can happen. I think Boston College has too much of rebuilding. They've lost too much. Does it equal playing time? Yes. Is it a great education? No doubt about it, Boston College. Does it have the football aspect there? Sure. ACC? Great. I would go to Providence, and that's not because I've attended Providence, any of that. You just have to look at the situation. Of course, I've been saying forever that's the situation, so we'll have to take a look at that. But we need another guard. Like I said, it's Dunn, it's Fortune, it's LaMamba, and it's Cartwright. There's problems with that. Now I want to talk about the recruits coming in, and I want to talk about the guys who are here for next year. Look at Josh Fortune. From November to January 31st, he had six double-digit scoring games. From February 1 through March 21st, which is when we played UNC, nine double-digit scoring games. This kid has grown so much in such a short period of time. Think back to that NJIT game in November of 2012. You're talking about Vincent Council going down. Then we're all worried about who's going to handle the ball, and it ends up being Bryce Cotton. Josh Fortune is thrown into the role of being the backup point guard, having to help bring the ball up. This kid has gone through two off seasons, his first one coming in right out of Virginia, and then last off season, where he's been preparing to be the dead-eye three-point shooter. Let's go through these names. Dunn, Austin, Leto, Gardner, Cotton, Council. They were all ahead of him to be the ball handlers. They wanted the ball, or they were going, that was the plan. Fortune was going to come off his screens, take his threes, get his minutes off the bench, make the threes, get more minutes. So, averaging 5.5 as a freshman, averaging nearly 8.5 as a sophomore, that's a big deal to me. That's a nice little jump. I expect him to be a double-digit scorer for us next year. Maybe it's just 10 points flat. Maybe it's 10-1, 10-2, 10.5. But I expect him to be giving us a more consistent effort. When he scores 8 points, 9 points, gets into the double digits, we're a better team. It's very simple. I think we had a 500 record between him scoring under 10 points, you know, not reaching double digits in the final like 5 or 6 times he did it. But the point is when Josh Fortune is shooting better, when he's helping this team, that's when we can be deadly from beyond the arc. Now obviously you're losing Bryce Cotton, who can make any shot in the gym, but it's going to help us when Josh Fortune is able to step into that role, and we're going to need him too. Especially because we'll talk about dark horses and wild cards in a minute, but I think Josh Fortune, this is a very important offseason for him, and hopefully he gets the ball handling skills. He only had one terrible turnover game. He had 7-1 game. He had some 4, some 5s thrown in there, some 3. Everyone talks about that Seton Hall game. He only had one turnover that game. Wasn't even the turnover everyone talked about. But you look at what he can do for this team and what he's been through on and off the court, I think he's grown so much, and Josh Fortune's very important to this team next year. Another person who might be leaving after next year who's very important is Tyler Harris. Three 20-point games, averaged just over 11.5 this past season. I look at him and I think, man, if he could just find some rhythm. I mean, he was very good scoring in double digits, and it was pretty consistent, but I just didn't feel like the rhythm was there for him. I don't feel like he kept himself. You know, I felt like there were some games where his head was more on the swivel than the others, but one thing I liked about Harris towards the end was his rebounding. I liked his rebounding. Maybe the numbers weren't stellar, but I liked the fact that he was more physical underneath the basket. I remember the game against Marquette in Wisconsin. I mean, every time down in the basket, it was just like, I'm gonna pump fake twice, and then I'm going to go up for a shot, and you're going to block it, and I'm going to look disgusted afterwards. It was like it was telegraphing everything. He got a heck of a lot more comfortable in the lane. He got a lot more comfortable underneath the basket on the baseline. That's something that I really like about him. But he's going to have to step up next year. Another guy who's going to have to continue is LaDonte Henton. 14-8 last year, this past season. This is exactly what we've been getting out of him since he came out of Michigan. 13 points, 14 points, back to 14. Marquette, here's the fun fact here. between the home game against Marquette and the Big East semifinals against Seton Hall, that's four games, right? He went 10 of 21 from three-point range. 10 of 21. Back in the middle of January, four-game stretch, he did the same thing. He needs to be more, and I think it was a lot about identity. I talked a lot about having that identity. And I think he needs to keep going with this sense of, just take the shots. Don't be afraid. I'm going to parallel both Harris and Henton to new guys. I look at Harris. I think Ben Bentile, who's a much physical, stronger kid than he is at 6'8", he likes to shoot the three, but I think he's going to help us more in our interior right away. The thing about Bentile was, for those who didn't know, is he wasn't able to play against every single team this year that he faced. That was because it was the Delaware Independent Scholastic Conference. I think it was one of the governing boards. He was only allowed to play against independents in Delaware and out-of-state teams. So it was because he was ruled a fifth-year senior that he wasn't able to play all the time. So maybe that catches a break in terms of any injury or anything, but I still think that's something there. Some news that just came in that I want to point out to you. It's 4:32 when I'm recording this. Oregon has suspended Brandon Austin for unspecified rules violation, and Austin has announced that he will transfer. Oh, boy. So, yeah, we just got done talking about Austin just in terms of that list for Josh Fortune. I just got a text from somebody at Providence that Brandon Austin will transfer. Going to be very interesting to see where he ends up. And now, who knows? I don't think it had anything to do with the Wall Street Journal article. I don't think it had anything to do with the issue that occurred here at Providence back in that started in September, but ultimately came to an ultimate close on, what was it, December 21st, 22nd, right around that time, right around Christmas. But this was this wasn't just a one-time incident, and the whole story is just so much bigger than what people know. And at least from what I've been told and from people who I trust. But anyway, so Harris and Bentile, that's something that I really look at. And I also look at Henton and Lindsey. I think you look at Lindsey, I mean, at 6'7", this kid is going to be able to do a lot for us. He's great in transition, but he can shoot the three. And I just look at he and Henton. You tell me, if you put both those guys on the wing, that would be great. Or if you want Lindsey to act like Henton for a few, like down the court, Henton is such a good rebounder, and we know what he can do, especially with his Big East numbers. Lindsey can take that three. Lindsey can do things if Henton needs to worry about being a rebounder. You'd like to think, with bringing in Pascal Chukwu and having Carson DeRozier's 2 7-footers, Lindsey's going to be able to get his opportunities, and so will Henton. But it's going to be nice to see both of these guys stepping out and taking some shots. I think Bentile will as well. I think when you look at someone like Rodney Bullock, first off, God bless that kid for sticking through what he's been through. And it's great to see that he wants to be here. He's very frustrated. He wants to get back out on the court. He seems to really like his teammates and still has a great appreciation for Ed Cooley. That's one thing that can't be lost through all this, is that Austin and Bullock were both one of the big reasons why Austin stayed even through, the end of December. One of the big reasons was because Ed Cooley fought for both of them. And I think that's a huge deal. So Cooley has Bullock's trust and respect, and that's a big deal and something that can't go overlooked. So I think anything you can get out of Bullock, some people on these boards have been saying he can shoot the three. He's a banger on the boards. That's what he can do. He can rebound. He's a bulldog. So I look for him to help us out, and maybe that allows guys like Bentile, Lindsey, Henton, Harris, Fortune, step out from what they're already doing on the inside and just take the three. So forget Fortune. I didn't mean to say him. The thing about it is, though, whoever's controlling the tempo at the top of the key in between the circles, as our friend John Rook would say, is it's the flex offense. So someone else is always touching the ball. We've had times where we're running our flex offense in the true half court. Then there's times where we're running it in a quarter court. That means we're basically putting our guys running a lot of backdoor cuts along the baseline, and our point man is standing in that half circle by the free throw line. That's where our offense is being run from. And you've got Henton moving, Harris, everybody's moving, everyone's touching the ball. It's Fortune on one occasion. So I'm not too worried with with our offense, it's just about putting the ball in the hoop. It's not so much of the structure of it or the design, the way it's going to flow. It's just a matter of putting the ball in the hoop. So hopefully, you know, listen, we're going to need to be good. We're going to need to have kids, you know, guys coming in here and contributing right away. But this is a very important recruiting class, and hopefully it's adding one more name. My dark horses for this team, LaMamba, Cartwright, and then whoever else comes in, and guess who else? Chris Dunn. Is he better? Are we better when he's on the floor? Absolutely. We are so much better. But you know what? We still need to figure out if his shoulder's okay. We still need to figure out when he's coming back. And we need to know what we're going to get from him. Is it going to be 5 or 6 points a night? Maybe more from the free throw line than anywhere else. You know, how's that shoulder going to be with his jump shot? How's his mindset going to be driving into the lane or diving for a loose ball? This kid makes us a heck of a defensive team. Look what he did for us near the end of that 2012 season, where you've got, you know, he and Council are both going after, you know, balls in the NIT. Look at what Dunn was able to do for us the end of last year. And then this year, it just seemed like he was ready to go. And even when he was hurt and playing down in the Paradise Jam, it seemed like he really, when he was down at the Virgin Islands, it seemed like he really just had this notion that, you know what, I'm on the floor, I'm your floor general, let's go do this. And there was a different attitude with the team when Dunn was on the floor. So already getting him back will be great, but he's still a question mark. It's great that he's still here. It's great he didn't leave or anything. So it's going to be really interesting. So we have a lot to get to. It's going to be an interesting summer. Do I think we're going to have our answer on one more guard? I hope so, but this might drag on. I hope it doesn't, and hopefully it doesn't affect recruiting for the future. I really like what's going on for the 2015 recruiting, but it's going to be, and we can focus on that now, but the big thing is, you know, and it's amazing to say another graduating class coming through our school, and then once September comes around, when, you know, the air starts to get crisp in the air, I know we're all worried about the air having humidity in it now, but once we start getting to September, October, boom, let's worry about this team. But for now, we can have the fun because Big East champions. And hey, how about this great news with the Big East and the Big Ten? I think it's absolutely wonderful. It's a great honor for Dave Gavitt. And you know what? If it means Providence can play some of these schools like Michigan State maybe one year, maybe head to Assembly Hall. Maybe it means we play Iowa. Maybe it means we play Penn State. But you know what? The Big Ten is about as good as it gets. I saw someone say that on Friartown Hoops today. I'm not too sure who it is. I apologize for that. But it's as good as it gets. They're as legit as it gets. And finally, to Bob Walsh for taking the main job. I'm not too sure if it's officially official. I hope it is. Congratulations to you. Best of luck. You did so well for Rick. It was fun watching you these past few years. And you know, for some people, they've been watching his whole time there. But for me, it was only the past few years. So congratulations to him. And just as always, guys, go Friars. Follow me on Twitter at ChrisTurrell11. One other thing, we'll be starting this podcast called Battleground State Sportscast. And whether you live in New England, whether you live in New York area, whether you're just a Boston or a New York fan, you've never gotten both sides of the argument. You've had to turn to certain networks in your respective houses or on the radio to get one side of the argument. What if you could go to a place where you could get both? Follow us on Twitter. It's at BattlegroundCT because Connecticut truly is the battleground for Boston fans and for New York fans. So check us out. Give us a try. We'll have a podcast coming out soon. I'll put that up as well on my Twitter page. But for now, we leave it in Friartown. Take care. I'm Chris Torello.